All right, let's get straight into the word. Hebrews 11, verse 11. If you're catching us today, if you're coming, joining us for the first time, you're catching us up on a series entitled Unwavering Faith. Unwavering Faith. And so we're going to start off from verse 11, or we're going to continue on verse 11. Now the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. If you can give me that scripture. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, this is a very beautiful scripture that we are reading. And we are finding Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Now, God came and told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Hello? I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And Sarah, his wife, had not been able to bear children for a long time that they were married. When you look at the issue of bearing children and being barren in the natural, it is not a very easy thing to deal with. When you speak to somebody who desires to have a child and they are married and they are not able to conceive, you would hear that there is so much pain. There is so much sadness around that. Why? Because having a child is one of the greatest blessings that a married couple would have if they want to have children. Now, barrenness in the natural is bad enough. People who want children, I have seen people going to the greatest of lengths to try and conceive. People will go for treatment in order to be able to bear children. And I'm talking about a natural situation. Now, do you know that the spiritual world is more real than the natural world? Hello, somebody. The spiritual world is more real than the natural world. And if people struggle with natural barrenness, how much more should we struggle with spiritual barrenness? When in your spiritual journey, you see yourself not bearing fruit. You're trying things, and you're trusting God, and things are not working out. But the Bible says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And this morning, I want to teach you on a subject matter, faith that overcomes barrenness. Faith that overcomes barrenness. My heart goes out to families or couples that are struggling to bear children. My heart goes out to them. And my prayer is that God would come through for them. And this morning, we're going to talk about the faith that enabled Sarah to conceive. The Bible says, though Sarah had gone past the age of giving birth, Sarah's womb had dried up. Sarah had been married for a long time and she could not bear children. And yet God came and he's saying, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. For Abraham to become a father, it meant that Sarah had to be able to give birth to children. But at this time, Sarah was old. She was so old. Now, I want us to catch the story from Genesis 18, verse 6. This is the story that we are talking about. What had happened in Genesis 18? The Bible tells us that Abraham, one day, he was standing outside of his tent. And then, lo and behold, these three gentlemen were walking past. I find it very interesting that they had not indicated to Abraham that they wanted to come to his house. These three men were walking past, and Abraham saw them, and he says, "My Lord, can I find favor in your sight by you coming into my house and settling for a moment, and I'll prepare you a meal?" I don't know what got onto Abraham, but something drew him to these three men. The Bible says, by faith, some entertained angels without knowing it. Abraham entertained angels by just being good-hearted. When you are good at heart, life will work out for you. Amen. Glory be to God. When you walk by faith, there are certain things that will happen to you. And I believe it was just a faith move by Abraham. He sees these three men walking past, and he called them over and says, "Please don't pass me by. Just come. I want to be a blessing to you." And the Bible says Abraham called them, and they walked in, and they sat down under a tree. And Abraham went into business and preparing a meal for them. He told Sarah, "Please prepare a fattened calf for my visitors. I'm going to do this and this for them." Now, verse 6, the Bible says, "So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes.' And Abraham ran to the head, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it." Verse 8, "So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?'" Who had told them that he has a wife and her name is Sarah? They say to Abraham, who was not eating. You see, out of respect, he was standing and watching over his visitors, enjoying a beautiful meal. And the visitors, as they were enjoying the food. You see, when we minister to God, God ministers back to us. When we love on God, God loves back on us. When we pour out love unto God, God pours back into our bosom. Glory be to God. So Abraham, in the process of him ministering to these three men, and it came out that one of them was Jesus incarnate. One of them was the Lord. One of them was Jesus incarnate appearing before Abraham. Abraham could have missed his moment if he had just ignored these visitors. Let me say to you, South Africans, you might miss your blessing if you ignore some of these foreigners. Hello, someone? We might miss our blessings if we abuse some of these foreigners, because some of them are God sent, because some of them are carrying our very blessings. Glory be to God. Abraham looked at these three men and said, "I'm going to be a blessing to them. I don't know them. I don't know what they carry, but I'm just going to bless them." And the Bible tells me it is more blessed to give than to receive. And in the process of Abraham blessing these strangers, and this is one of the problems we have in our country, we are losing our hospitality and our being able to host people because of crime. Very, very few people are bold enough to call a stranger into their house and to say, "Can you just come into my house? I was just about to have a meal." We are afraid to do that because you don't know who you are bringing into your house. When you're driving your car and somebody is flagging, you can see they're carrying so many stuff around them. Do you stop to give them a hike? You think twice. So we are losing our ability to be hospitable because of the issue of crime. And we need to pray against the spirit of crime. Now, Abraham, thank God it wasn't our time. Abraham was able to call these three gentlemen. So the gentlemen were having a meal and they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall give birth." Now, I want you to realize today that it was in the process of him ministering to these people that God spoke. It is in the process of you ministering to God that God will speak and that God will say, I will change your situation. That God will say, I have seen, I have heard, now I'm coming down. Remember when God appeared before the burning bush of Moses, in the story of Moses, he said to Moses, Moses, I have seen the problem in Egypt. I have heard the cry of my children, but I'm coming down. I am coming down to do something about this situation. And God, in that moment of him eating food, I do not know God eats food, but in that moment, God in the picture of a man was enjoying the food that Abraham had prepared and said, Abraham, your situation is about to change. Your situation is about to change. The promise that I made to you, I'm going to bring it to pass. I want you to know there is a time and a season for what God has spoken over your life for it to come to fulfillment. Now he said, your wife Sarah, something is about to happen in her life. I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. There's a parenthesis and there's a bracket. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Sarah was there, but Sarah was not there. Sarah was there, but they did not know Sarah was there. Sarah was hiding behind the door of the tent, listening to the conversation. Women. Interesting. She did not want to be passed by, but she wanted to have an eavesdrop. What are these men talking to my husband about? And in the process of her listening, she heard something very profound. The Bible says, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child? Do you see that it's Lord capital letter L? It's not L, small letter L. That is why I'm saying this was Jesus incarnate, appearing before Abraham, bringing an answer that had been pending for a long time. And I want you to know that God wants to appear in your life and bring answers to your situation that has been there for a long time. The Bible says here, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Somebody needs to hear this word today. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no. But you did laugh. Now, what type of faith did Sarah operate with? What type of faith did Sarah tap into? And this morning, I want to share with you what will unlock the barrenness in your life and enable you to become fruitful. The Lord wants you to have fruitful ideas. The Lord wants you to have fruitful thoughts. The Lord wants you to have fruitful relationships. Relationship that whenever you are in the context of the relationship, you are replenished. Relationship that when you leave from that relationship, you feel encouraged. You feel empowered. The Lord wants your children to become fruitful. Hello, somebody. I was telling my children yesterday, and I said to them, do you know that there is a difference between a person who looks for a job and a person who looks to employ other people? And I say to them, I believe God wants you to be creators of jobs, not looking for jobs. And Bernice, my daughter, was 10, grasped and said, yeah, I like that idea. I like the idea of giving people jobs. I'm talking about our children becoming fruitful. Do you know that our children can become barren right from their pickaninny age? Because of the way that they think. But because of what we deposit in them. And I was saying to them, the reason why we're sending you to school, it is not for you one day to go look for a job. It is one day for you to go create jobs for the people around you. And I say to her, Bernice, you like cooking. Can you imagine yourself going to varsity and creating your own bakery brand? Employing people, baking and creating cookies for you and selling them out. What was I doing? Dropping seeds of fruitfulness in their minds. For them to start thinking differently. I don't know how barren your thought patterns are. The desire of God is for the church to become fruitful. When you go to John chapter 15, the Bible says, every tree that does not bear fruit, or every branch that does not bear fruit, my Father, the husbandman, cuts it off and he throws it into the fire. Barrenness is not your portion as a child of God. But the Bible says, the branch that bears fruit, the husbandman prunes it so that it can produce much more. Glory be to God. Amen. What am I talking about today? The faith that overcomes barrenness. The faith that says, my womb will not be barren. My spiritual womb is not barren. My spiritual womb will bear that which God deposits in it. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, what was the type of faith that Sarah had? If you go to Genesis 18 verse 9, the Bible says, then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? Where is Sarah, your wife? This morning, I want you to know that the starting point for you to make a shift from being barren to being fruitful, it is to know that God knows me by name. It is when you know that God knows you by name. Many people think they are forgotten. When you go through 25 years of barrenness, you can easily think that I'm forgotten. You can easily think that in the mind of God, I do not exist. But this morning, you need to have a shift in the way that you think. I want you to know that you are not forgotten. Glory be to God. God knows you by name. God knows where you dwell. God knows where you stay. That is why when God appeared before Abraham, he did not have to ask Abraham, are you married? Who is the name? Who is your wife? He said to Abraham, where is Sarah? Where is Sarah, your wife? And this morning, I want to speak to a Sarah. You are known by name by God. God knows you by name. He called you by that name. Hallelujah. When God was talking to Jeremiah, the young prophet, he said to him, Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And today I want you to know that it doesn't matter how you were conceived, whether it was out of wedlock, out of marriage, whether it was a rape situation, whether it was a mistake, so-called mistake, when your parents say, we were not planning you, the fact that you were conceived, you were in the mind of God. Amen. That is the most important thing this morning that you need to know. The fact that conception happened, God determined it to be so. That is why God says abortion is not his idea. Whenever conception happens, there is a destiny that God plants in that womb. And God said to Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? This morning, when you have a revelation that you are known by name, it changes your talk. It changes your conversation. You see, so many times we've been so abused to a point that our talk has changed. We no longer talk in a positive way. We're no longer looking forward to tomorrow. But when you know that you are known by God, it doesn't matter how people treat you. It does not change the way you behave. Because God knows you. If your boss has been mistreating you to make you feel like you're a second-rated citizen, if you have a revelation that my Father in heaven knows me by name, you keep on walking in confidence. You walk into your office, it doesn't matter what he says, it doesn't change your identity. Because your identity is found in God. God knows me by name. So when I pray, when I come before God, he does not need the angels to remind him of who I am. God knows me. He knows where I come from. He knows where I am, and he knows where I'm going. He knows my tomorrow like he knows yesterday. I might not know tomorrow, but I know the one who's holding my hands. He knows my tomorrow. Glory be to God. Read with me in Isaiah 49, verse 15. Isaiah 49, 15. In the Message version of the Bible, it's written, "Can a mother forget the infant at her breast? Can she walk away from the baby she bore? But even if mothers forget, I would never forget you." I like the picture that is being painted. Can a mother who's got a suckling baby forget the baby? What God was saying is that I want to show you the closeness between a mother and a suckling baby. I'm talking about a mother who understands who they are, because there are mothers out there who ditch their babies in drains. That is why here the writer of Isaiah says, yes, I know some mothers who do that. But in a normal state of circumstances, a suckling mother will not forget the suckling baby. Those of you who are married, who would wake up in the middle of the night when the baby cries for feed? It's the mother. Fathers, they're busy snoring. And God says, I'm going to use that analogy for you to see, for you to understand how much you matter to me. He says here, I'm like a mother who is suckling babies. I'm like a mother who knows that these children will not survive unless I feed them. And now God says, I know some mothers can do that, but not me. I will not forget you. I want you to know, it doesn't matter how long it has taken, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. And then he goes on further and says, look, I have written your names on the backs of my hands. The walls you are rebuilding are never out of my sight. Other version says, I have inscribed you in the palm of my hands. You see, in historical Jewish culture, it was a sign of intimacy when somebody would tattoo themselves and draw a picture of their city on their hand. It would remind them of their birthplace. It would remind them of their intimate belonging, where they say, I long to be in Jerusalem. I long to be with my people. And God was saying, you know what? I have inscribed you in the palm of my hands. Whenever I lift my hands, I see your name in my palm. And God is saying, I haven't forgotten you. He was talking about the level of intimacy with which he considered his children. He says, I have you before me all the time. And there's a place where the Bible says in Zechariah 2 verse 8, for that say the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who planted you. For he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. He who touches you touches the apple of my eye. This is another picture that I really love. Try and touch somebody else's apple. And before you know it, they blink. It's like it's a reflex to protect your cornea, to protect your eye. Whenever something comes towards your eye, you immediately close. And God is saying, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. And I want you to understand this morning that there's no greater level of provocation as compared to somebody to try and put their finger in your eye. If you want to provoke somebody, try and poke your finger in their eye. And God is saying, that is how valuable you are to me. I wish somebody would have that revelation today that says, I'm valuable before God. And that becomes an environment where fruitfulness can start becoming a reality. Glory be to God. So God says, where is Sarah, your wife? And Sarah needed to understand that though it has been dry for a long time, I'm not forgotten. I love the song by Israel Houghton where he says, I'm not forgotten. God knows my name. Glory be to God. So if you can step from that place where you feel you're good for nothing, from that place where you feel there's nothing good that can come out of me, and you step in the dimension that says, I am the treasure of God. I belong to the Most High God. You better treat me with care. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you look at your world. Number two, I want you to know, for you to break from barrenness to fruitfulness, your situation requires the Word of God. Your situation requires the Word of God. You need to expose your barrenness to the Word of God. Today we are exposing our barrenness to gossip. We are exposing our situations to people who cannot make a difference to our situation. And yet, the place of refuge, the place of victory is called the Word of God. Now the Bible says in verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. The parenthesis, Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind her. Sarah was listening. That was the time of victory. At that point, a seed was dropped in the spirit of Sarah. When she heard what these angels were saying, something happened in her spirit man. Write this down. There is no situation in your life that cannot be dealt with by the Word of God. I don't know if you still believe that. Maybe you've been long enough in church that the Word of God no longer carry the weight that it deserves. But this morning, I want to remind you, write that down and tell yourself that there is no situation in my life that the Word of God cannot deal with. What are you facing right now? There is no situation that the Word falls short from. Why? Because nothing was made which wasn't made by the Word of God. When you go to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. And nothing was made which was not made by the Word. If you need change in your life, you need to get the Word into the situation. Expose your barrenness to the Word of God. Hallelujah. But my question is, how much Word do we carry as individuals? When last did we open the Word? Do we open the Word when we come to church? Where as long as we do that and we treat the Word of God lightly, we will not experience what was intended through the Word of God. I want to challenge every believer today to go back to the basics. Go back to memorizing the scriptures by your heart. When last did you memorize a scripture by heart? Learning it by heart. Why? David says, how can a young man keep his ways pure? By keeping your Word in his heart. He says, I have hidden your Word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. When you carry the Word of God in your life long enough, the Word will work for you. But the problem we have is we don't carry the Word. We carry other stuff that are toxic to our situation. Glory be to God. Your pain needs the Word of God. Your disappointment needs the Word of God. You need to expose your trials to the Word of God. You need to say, this is what the Word says, but my situation is different. I'm going to wait until this Word changes my situation. Glory be to God. Medically speaking, it was impossible for Sarah to conceive. It was improbable for her situation to change. Many of you right now, you've been looking for a job for a long time and you're saying, it is improbable for me to get the Word. Maybe for me to get the Word, to get the job, maybe we need to shift our focus. We need to get the Word into our situation. Maybe there is sickness in your life that has overstayed its welcome, that you have owned it. You're saying, my high blood pressure, my TB, my groins, my pain. Yes, if you're saying mine, they will stay with you for the rest of your life. But if you change your talk and says, this pain, this high blood pressure, you are distancing yourself from it. And you say, it does not belong to me. It doesn't pay rent to be in my body. Hello? So your situation needs the Word of God. Because in the absence of the word, everything remains as is. Because nothing was made which was not made by the word of God. So here, Sarah was listening to the word of God. And the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 17, therefore faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What you need, the material you need to change your situation, is really driven by what you listen to, what you pay attention to. That is why you need to be careful about the people you hang around with. Are they people who boost your faith, or are people who bust your faith? Glory be to God. So, the moment Sarah heard these angels speaking, something supernatural happened. The moment you hear the word, something supernatural starts happening in your situation. The moment you submit yourself to the word of God, something of the spirit starts happening in your situation. Glory be to God. The more you listen to the word of healing, something starts happening in your physical body. It starts aligning itself with what the word is saying. Sarah heard. There she was behind. Thank God that she was doing the typical thing. I want to hear what they're saying. And she heard the right thing. She heard the angel say, your wife, your only wife, will bear you a son. Now, the word is a seed that has potential. The word is a seed that we need. But if you have the seed, but the environment is not right, do you know that you can miss out on what the seed was meant to be? If you plant the seed and you don't water the seed, though the seed has power to germinate to become a big tree, that seed will die. If you plant a seed and you bring in a toxic material next to the seed will not germinate. What have you been doing creating an environment? What type of environment are you creating around the word? So the next issue that we need to understand is create the right environment for the seed to grow. Create the right environment for the word of God to multiply. It is one thing to have seed, but it is another thing to see the end result of that seed. The Bible tells me in Hebrews 4, the Bible says that the children of Israel heard the word of God, but the word of God was of no benefit to them because it was not mixed with faith. They heard the word saying, there is a promised land for you. This land flows with milk and honey. When you get there, all these Egyptians that you have seen, you will see no more. All these pains, you will see no more. But that word was not mixed with faith. And in the process of hardships in the desert, they say, take us back to Egypt. This thing does not work. Take us back to Egypt. And this morning, I want to ask you, what type of environment are you creating as you hear the word? Do you go home and create the right environment for the word? The parable of the sower speaks of a farmer who went out and scattered seed. And the Bible says, I'm now in Matthew 13, that the parable talks of a farmer who scattered seed. And it says, some seed fell on dry ground, some on rocky ground, some on thorny ground, and some on fertile ground. And the one that fell on fertile ground brought much fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It was really dependent on the type of soil. And Jesus explains, and it says, the seed is the word, and the soil is the heart. Your heart condition as you hear the word will determine how much will come out of that. The problem is not with the quality of the seed. The problem is the quality of the soil. It is the same seed that fell on rocky ground, as same as the seed that fell on fertile ground. The problem is never the word. The problem is the soil that receives the word. Now, Sarah got the seed planted when these angels declared. Now, verse 12 says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old as well? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I do not love, for she was afraid. Now, the first thing around creating an environment, you need to align your attitude with the potential of the seed. Your attitude will determine what the seed will do and can do for you. You need to align your attitude with the potential of the seed. Now, Sarah laughed when she heard the word. Maybe you are like Sarah laughing as you hear the word right now. You are looking at your situation and say, Muruti, I hear what you're saying, but my situation is different. You say, Muruti, I'm hearing you, but my situation, no one can change it. The Bible says Sarah heard the word and she laughed aloud in her heart. She did not laugh outside, but within herself. You might not fight against what I'm saying here physically, but spiritually inside your heart, you are saying, you know what, I've done that. I've bought the t-shirt. I've hung the t-shirt. Nothing has changed in my life. What guarantee do I have that if I try, it will work? Maybe you're being like Sarah. Sarah laughed. We laugh when our situation is beyond our comprehension. We laugh when our situation has overstayed its welcome in our lives. We despise. So in other words, what Sarah did, she was despising the spoken word. And the way we respond to the word of God right now, we might even despising the word. Because our faith is not allowing us to believe that God, the maker of heaven, is able to change my situation. Sarah laughed aloud. But the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? The Lord is contending with you. Why are you despising my word? Why haven't you taken my word seriously? You see, God will contend with us. God will come and shake us up and bring us into a place where we can see things the way that he sees them. Because God means business with you. God wants to do you good. And he's saying, can't you see that I'm about to change your situation? God could have just said, you know what, Sarah, you're disqualified because you walked in doubt. Sarah, you don't qualify to receive a child because of your reaction. I want you to know God is long-suffering with us. God's grace is sufficient. God is so merciful that even when we have walked in doubt, we are able to say, Lord, help my unbelief. You're able to say, Lord, help my unbelief. And he walks into your life and he enables you to believe. Sarah tried to fight it like, No, I did not. But God looks at our hearts. You see, Sarah did not speak out loud. Abraham did not hear Sarah laughing. But God says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Because God looks beyond the facade. God looks beyond the smile and the pain that we're carrying. And he says to us, why are you downcast in your spirit, man? You are smiling, but your heart is sore. You are laughing outside, but your heart is crying. And I want you to know, God knows you by name. God knows your condition. And Abraham was surprised, I believe, in his heart. Like, I did not hear her. I know how my wife laughs, but I did not hear that laughter this time around. But God was saying, I heard you laughing in your heart. So you need to align your attitude with the potential of the seed. Put your attitude right. Believe again. Speak again. Number two, focus on the source of the promise and not the promise. You need to focus on the source of the promise, the giver of the promise, and not the promise. Because the promise is so huge. The promise contradicts your situation to a point that if you are not careful, the promise will trip you. What will help you to enter the promised land is not to focus on the size of the Amalekites, is not to focus on the size of the Philistines, it is to focus on the size of the one who promised. Because the one who promised has capacity to fulfill the promise. You say, Lord, I hear what you said. I look to you. You are almighty. You are powerful. You are able. And therefore, that becomes a faith-building process. How do we see this in the scripture? Genesis 18, 14, verse A. Part A says here, is anything too hard for the Lord? So what God was saying here, I hear what you're saying. You're concerned about your womb. You're concerned about the Lord not having pleasure anymore. You're concerned about the situation physically. But is there anything that is too hard for God? I want you to focus on my capacity. And right now, in your situation, you need to focus on the capacity of God. How big your God is. And the moment you exalt him to what he deserves, you find that your situation takes on a different shape. It takes on a different shape. So write this down. Instead of focusing on the content of the promise and getting tripped in the process, you've got to consider the size of your God. You've got to consider the God who created the universe, the one who created the animals, the one who created the lilies of the valley, the one who says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who says, I'm a covenant keeper. When you see him the way he is, the promise becomes a possibility. You're able to believe that he would do it for me. Number three, I'm talking about the faith that overcomes barrenness. Number three, wait on the seed. Wait on the seed. Genesis 18, verse 14, part B. The angel said, at the appointed time, I will return. At the appointed time, I will make a way for you. At the appointed time, there will be peace at work. At the appointed time, your business will thrive. Glory be to God. He says, I will return to you according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. Now, in the natural, you don't put seed down today and tomorrow you have a harvest, do you? No, you don't. You put your seed down in the ground, and the Bible talks about this in Hebrews. It says that the farmer is very patient. He puts seed in the ground and he waits. He waits. He looks, says the rains are going to come soon. He waits. And he waited again until he sees the shoots coming up. He was waiting for the seed, for the process of the seed to happen until he sees the result of the process. Many, many people miss out on what God has called them to do because they can't wait. We can't wait. We are so quick. This microwave generation, we will put it in the microwave within 30 seconds. It is warm. You take it out. It's ready to eat. 2-minute noodles. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that in the spirit. 2-minute noodle prayers will not work for you. The Lord is calling for a church that will wait on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights in prayer until he births something in them. The Lord is waiting for those who are, he's looking for those who say, I will wait upon the promises of God. If it is God who said it, he will do it in his time. The Bible says in his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. Do you know that you don't need faith when God is speaking? You need faith when he's quiet. When he is quiet, he has spoken, right? And he is quiet for a period. That is when you need to kick into your greatest level of faith. Because he says, I do not change. You remember we read in Genesis 12 when God spoke to Abraham and says, leave, I will make you a father of many nations. Abraham left. From that time, the Lord did not speak to him for 13 years until Genesis 17. He came back to him and says, I'm the Lord your God, your great reward. You shall be Abraham. 13 years. And it was in that process that Hagar came into the context. It was in that moment when Ishmael was birthed. When God is quiet, what do? Does it mean God doesn't speak? Has he forgotten about his word? I want you to know, in the process of time, our character is refined and make us ready to receive the promise. In the process of time, in the process of the seed being under the ground, the seed is being transformed into a state where it can shoot through the ground and become a very big tree. But many believers, we dig out the seed. Every time we go to the field and we dig out the seed, what is happening to this seed? And we kill the seed in the process. Believers are interested in the promise and not in the process. There is no promise without process. The Lord will work you until you come to a point where when He speaks, you say, Lord, do what you want to do with my life. 13 years and the Lord was quiet. Where was God? God was still there. Believers say they have faith because they have a physical evidence of God. As long as I can feel God, I have goosebumps whenever there's worship happening, then I know God is there. That's not faith. Faith is when you feel nothing and you still believe He is with me. In the darkest moments of my life, I don't see Him, but I know He is there with me. That is what faith is. Why was Abraham called the father of faith? It is because he stood on the word. Though he made mistakes along the way, he remained resolute on the word until Isaac, the promised child, came into being. Maybe you are in that 13-year period of your life. God spoke before, and He hasn't spoken again. And He's waiting to see, what are you going to do? Do you do things because you see me? Or you do things because you know I am? Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Glory be to God. And this morning I want you to know, don't walk by sight, walk by faith. When you pray and the sickness is still there, don't change your confession. Remain saying, by His stripes I am healed, until the word becomes a reality in your life. So wait on the seed. Allow the seed to go through. It takes 9 months for a child to reach full term. 9 months. That is why we say, oh, it was a preterm. He was a preterm. He was a preterm. And they put them in an incubator. It's because it was before time. Why do you want your child to be birthed at 3 months? It's the first trimester anyway. Why do we say, after 2 years, this church is not working? It's just 2 years. Hello? Pastor Musa, Bishop Musa Sone is celebrating 36 years of ministry. And you want to compare yourself with Grace Bible Church in terms of size? You've got to cut your teeth, people of God. I'm talking about church growth, the health of the church. Are we looking for a popcorn-style church that balloons over 2 months? We don't even know why this church is growing so much. Maybe there's muti in that church. Hello? I'm telling you, some of the stuff that we see out there, it's not for real. When God wants to do a big work, He will dig the foundation so deep that for a long time you don't see anything coming up. It's like a bamboo tree. The bamboo, for the first 7 years, you don't see anything coming out. It grows down first, establish its root system before it comes up. And it becomes one of the tallest trees that you can think of. I'm talking about cutting your teeth. It's your business. You are comparing your business that is 16 months old with a business that has been running for 15 years. Just be patient with yourself. Trust the Lord. Be faithful with the little, and the Lord will make you a manager of abundance. I was encouraging myself right there. Glory be to God. So wait on the seed. The last point, align your actions with the word of God. It's one thing to hear the word and you go act in a totally different manner. Many people counteract their prayers because in the moment of praying, they pray so powerful prayers. But the moment they get up, they just went, go back into their old thinking and confessing differently. When God has given you a word, you need to act accordingly. The word that was given to Sarah was, in the time of man, next year this time, you're going to have a son. Next year, this time, 12 months, hey? And the baby takes 9 months. It means that Sarah and Abraham had to get things going for this to become a possibility. Hello, guys, don't become too spiritual. Hello? They had to go try. I don't know when last they had been intimate. But because the word had been released, they had to find strength somewhere to do what they had to do. Because God was not about to do the Mary thing. Where Jesus was conceived by the Spirit of God. Isaac needed both Abraham and Sarah to do some work. Hello, somebody? Now, the Bible says in Genesis 21, verse 1, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken." Sarah needed to cooperate with God. Abraham needed to cooperate with God. And verse 2, "For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him." Many of you are waiting on God, and God is waiting on you. God is saying, step out in faith. In James, the brother of Jesus, the apostle James, he says, faith without actions is dead. He says, show me your faith and I'll show you my actions. A lot of Christians, we pray and we sit on our hands. You are praying and trusting God for a business, but you don't have a business proposal. But you don't call people who can fund your business. You don't work on your business diligently. And you say, this thing does not work. Abraham and Sarah had to do what a husband and wife needed to do in order for them to conceive. It wasn't going to happen by osmosis. Hello? So what do you need to do in light of the spoken word over your life? You know, in light of the spoken word as a church, our name is Go. That is why we need to go. We can sit here and call ourselves Go, and we say, this church is not working. But then God says, but you're not going. Go where you need to go. Go to Moycliffe next week, Saturday, and see what I will do. Glory be to God. The Bible says in Romans, says here, how can they hear unless somebody has preached the gospel? And how can they preach unless they've been called? And God has called you and I. Do you need an audible voice? No. Matthew 28 says, go ye into all nations and making disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There is a calling for you. That says the Lord. I'm prophesying now. That says the Lord, go and make disciples. That is a prophetic word. What is a prophetic word? Glory be to God. Or you want the one that says, I can, your name is Tabo 072. Papa, that's my cell phone number. Is that what we're looking for? The word of God is a powerful prophetic word. That's what we need. Glory be to God. Some of these shenanigans doesn't work. When you don't have the word of God, I can call you by your name. I can tell you when you were born, it will not cause you to grow. Amen. You will only grow the moment you get yourself into the word and you hear the true prophetic word. Amen. I am for the prophecy. I'm for prophetic. But I believe the ultimate prophetic word is the word of God. Amen. So what are we saying today? We are saying you can move from a place of barrenness to a place of fruitfulness. But there are things that you need to do. You need to know God knows you by name. God knows you by name. He hasn't forgotten you. It doesn't matter how it feels like. It doesn't matter what people have said about you. God knows you by name. And secondly, you need the word of God in your life. Get yourself into the word. When you get yourself into the word, your situation cannot remain the same. Create the right environment for the word. Align your attitude with the word. You need to wait upon the seed. You need to realize that I have to act out. I can't say I have faith and I remain in the same place. I want us to stand on our feet today. And we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord today to turn around our situation. To turn our mourning into dancing. To turn our sorrows into joy. To turn our barrenness into fruitfulness. That is a desire of God. For every branch that is in God bears fruit. Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you, and you shall bear fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you remain barren. So today, it's about intimacy with the Lord. It's coming back to that place of so being so intimate that you trust him. You trust what he says. So we're going to pray right now. I want us to pray that the Lord would shift us. You know those areas. Bring that area before God that you're saying, Lord, it has been barren for a long time. I want you to say, Lord, I have laughed whenever I've heard a word of encouragement, but today I choose to believe. I choose to trust. I choose to wait on you because you promised never to leave me, never to forsake me. Shall we pray?